You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
So, what are you guys going to do? Are you going to continue to be a bunch of soft, underperforming, tattooed millionaires?
They said all along, perfection is not possible. We just want to get the big decisions right.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
Green room getting hot.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
The right answer was a goal in Times Square so we could do butts up, but that was an easy one.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio, driven by Continental on MLSsoccer.com. I am Andrew Wiebe in the green room, post-decision day, presented by AT&T, David Goss, Bobby Warshaw, Matt Doyle. We are here to run the gamut. Mm-hmm. As to the final day of the regular season, we are here to preview the knockout rounds, which are now set. I'll get to that information in just 1 second. And, of course, look at the favorites, the number one contenders and the dark horses from both conferences. 12 teams are alive. And the most important thing happening right now is a Twitter draft that we made up on the spot. All those teams that didn't make it, well, the teams that did make it get to choose from them. That's going down on Twitter. And with the first pick, guys, the Red Bulls would select – sorry. The Supporters' Shield winning, best regular season having Red Bulls would select who from among the non-playoff contenders?
Well, Bobby is starting this off. So Bobby, who do the Red Bulls select?
You got to take Ignacio Piatti.
Yeah.
Their weakest position is winger. Although Alex Mueller stepped up lately, Derek Etienne Jr., Dab God, did great this past weekend getting the game-winner goal. But if you could get a new winger on that team, you got to go Piatti.
An elite-level winger.
Yeah. I think everybody would take Piatti probably first. Look, we'll get to more of this. And if you want to chime in here with your pick for Atlanta, we can do that. But we have a lot to talk about. I mean, this is liable to be an hour and a half.
All right, I'm going to derail the derail, actually. One thing that we have to do on this show is roast your sartorial choices from yesterday, Andrew. It was like 55 degrees.
Oh, this is BS.
It was like 55 degrees in New Jersey, and you were dressed in like an Inspector Gadget style trench coat, and you had OJ's leather gloves on there. You looked like you were doing a sideline hit from Antarctica.
Yeah. Well, you don't know if I did or did not bury somebody in the swamps in New Jersey on the way back.
I will tell you this, though. 1 year ago, I did a report from Red Bull Arena the second to last week of the regular season, and Doyle, sitting in a warm studio inside, also mocked my appearance and how cold it looked.
That's fair.
Maybe you should go outside one of these weeks, and then you can do that.
So it was actually pretty chilly. I just want to establish that. I got a lot of compliments on my Sopranos-esque get-up. Mm-hmm. Both from people in stadium and outside. Mm-hmm. So I want you to know they have no shame about what I rocked on those sidelines. And what a game it was. Not really on like the actual quality of play, but the occasion, because I got the confetti shower afterwards that Doyle can only dream of having. I didn't like do anything to earn it or anything like that. I just, you know, was allowed through the gates.
The line in the studio of the night last night was when you came on, Kalen goes, Wiebe acts like he's Brooklyn, but he's really more Upper East Side.
Whoa. Kalen and I have beef now. We're going to have to really have a discussion here. I'm personally hurt by that. I'm so hurt that I'm going to derail us once again just because I have an opportunity for all the people at home to win free jerseys. We were like rooting around here in the green room and elsewhere at the MLS studios, and I just found a bunch of jerseys that we were supposed to give away. Not we, a collective we, Major League Soccer. We didn't do it. So I went and put together the sweepstakes. I'm calling it the Are You Watching the Games sweepstakes. So basically, every single night of the playoffs, if there are games happening, we will put out a tweet from @ExtraTimeRadio. Your job in this sense, if you want to win a jersey, is to reply to that tweet, follow Extra Time Radio, and attach a picture of you, your friends, your family, your children, your dog, whoever it is, watching the game. So, want to win jerseys? We got a bunch. I think from every single team. I think just about every size. I'm talking a pile of jerseys. That's how you do it. Respond to our tweet. Follow us. Attach a picture of you or whoever. Something alive, please, unless it's a good Halloween joke. Watching the game. All right.
Dude, breaking news. With the second overall pick, Matt Doyle of Atlanta United selects Sebastian Giovinco.
Good pick.
Right?
Yeah, it's a game-breaking pick. Put him up there on, he's no Kevin Kratz on free kicks, but he's pretty good. He could change the game
for Atlanta. Why is Bobby shocked by that? They played their best ball this year in a 3-5-2, and you have Giovinco and Joseph as your two man forward team.
It's great. No, I'm for it. It's just not what I expected.
Is he going to drift into that same left channel that Almirón wants to be?
Dude, oh, Matt, you didn't fully think through this. You didn't think through it.
Who's got the third pick? Dave or I?
You do.
I do.
Representing okay. Sporting KC.
Just so you know, I can avoid that homer tag. While I think about my choice, I want to hear you guys' take on the Red Bulls. 71 points, the first time ever that the 70-point mark has been broken in Major League Soccer. 69 had been what we had talked about all offseason, all season. Toronto FC sitting at the top of the charts. No longer. It lasted one calendar year. The Red Bulls have won their third Supporters' Shield in 6 years. That's incredible. What an accomplishment for them. Of course, no MLS Cups over that time. Open Cup final losses, but 3 of 6 years. It's an incredible accomplishment to be there, to watch this game as it unfolded, to see the squeaky bum time, let's call it, for all of Red Bull Arena as Derek Etienne Jr., you said it, Dab God, wasn't godly from the spot.
I don't like
Dab
Bobby,
God.
Sorry, please
like
never say
Bobby
it again.
Does voices.
He missed from the spot, and everybody in Rebel Arena, I'm sitting right behind the supporters, it just kind of it permeates. This like, it's going to happen to us again. Well, it wouldn't happen to them again. They were watching the scoreboard, which had the Atlanta score. We knew Toronto was going to win that game. Derek Etienne, nice little cut in the box. Good finish. 1-0. Red Bulls hold on. History, 3-6. What does it mean?
Go ahead, David. You've been there for a lot of these games. Like, you have a feel for that fan base.
Yeah, I would just say John Walnuck's the best coach in the U.S. Is that what we're talking about? Are we talking about Baby Bulls going to another Eastern Conference Finals?
Red Bulls organizationally are going for everything.
They are going for everything. What does it mean? First of all, what? NYCFC came into the league 3 years ago? 4 years ago? And chanted, you have no history, and they've won 3 supporter shields in 6 years. They've been to an Open Cup final. I mean, this is the most successful run in Red Bull history. If you want to link in the Henry team, which I think you should just because of the time period, but especially the Jesse Marsh years, because I'm still going to call that.
Right.
This. What?
Can I offer a different frame for this?
Yeah.
To really get to the point? Is this a dynasty?
No, it's not yet a dynasty. 3 in 6 years is amazing, but it's like they have to add a cup. You know, they have to add at least one MLS Cup. I think they probably have to add a U.S. Open Cup.
If this 71 points stands for, let's say, 5 to 10 years, and it's 3 supporter shields in 3 years, an Open Cup final, and the best point total season in history. Mm-hmm. Is that not enough?
To be honest, I think you have to throw that Open Cup final out. What? I don't think that counts toward any dynasty status that they could put up.
Getting to finals counts.
Getting to
a final counts.
Nah, I don't think so.
When you talk about TFC, you're going to talk about, let's say they go to MLS Cup next year. It's going to be 3 finals in 4 years. And
okay, but
one
MLS,
or two
in
wins.
My opinion, MLS Cup is a different story than U.S. Open Cup.
And a CCL semifinal, but sorry, continue.
No, I understand Bobby's point. I'm not there yet with the Red Bulls. What they have become, though, is a machine, a reliable machine of acquiring or identifying and developing talent, and that's why you can go from the Thierry Henry era to the Dax McCarty era to the Tyler Adams era in terms of players who kind of define the team. And you do have Robles and BWP who are there throughout all of it. But they've been professionalized and they've been smart about how they find and use their talent. And other teams have to realize this is the blueprint, man. Like, you can go out and you can spend $5 million on Kaku, who's awesome, but you can also develop players who are as good as Kaku if you put the resources behind it. And I'm happy to see a team with this kind of approach get the rewards.
The one thing for me this year, and you're talking about Kaku, is just that they went out and spent that money on him.
Yep.
That they understood what they were good at and what they had,
yep.
And they filled in rather than saying, we can squeak by and get into an MLS playoffs without a guy like this. Guys that we develop or guys we can find in the league that are people undervalue. They went out and spent. And so I like the idea of building a roster in different ways and using all the pieces you can. We've talked about it with LAFC. We talked about it last year with Toronto. This was the other piece for me with the Red Bulls, was like to go out and get a young DP like that who fit in perfectly and is fun to watch and fits into that team and makes them better. And I think is the piece that everyone's thinking of when they say, maybe Tim Parker as well, why this is an MLS Cup favorite now. We're going to talk about that in the second segment. But that's where they stand. I don't think there's anyone in the league that questions that right now. And Kaku is a huge piece of that.
One thing to put context on this is, should you rely on developing a Tyler Adams? No. Should you depend on finding an Aaron Long out of USL and turning him to a Defender of the Year? No. So maybe you shouldn't assume this approach gives you a supporter shield, mm-hmm. but it should put you in the top 5 to 10. I just want to point that out. I'm not
for
sure.
For sure. And the and like in the Red Bulls, and I would argue the Galaxy and LAFC and NYCFC are uniquely gifted in I guess we'll throw Dallas in there as well, because of we all know the three best player pools in the United States are Southern California, North
and
Jersey,
and Harrisburg.
And and Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but that one dried up. That
yeah,
one dried up.
And Dallas. And like the Red Bulls did, like Tim Weah was part of the Red Bulls Academy. Chris Gloucester and Matt Olosunde were their two star, you know, fullback prospects. They could have been on this team. Matt Miazga is still only 23 years old. You know, in a different era, he's still on this team.
Well,
so
they
the Red
lost
Bulls,
Kyle Duncan.
So you're disagreeing with me. You think that they actually you can win a
shield? No.
I would say
no.
If
what I'm saying, what I'm saying is that even if you don't have the ability to identify and develop that kind of talent, you still have the ability to identify and develop Sean Davis, mm-hmm. Connor Lade,
yes,
Derek Etienne Jr., who's not going to, you know, he's not going to be sold to Europe to a European team for $5 million.
No, he's
but he's
going
to score
occasionally.
Yeah, he's gonna,
and it seems important to organizations and fan bases to understand that if you adopt this model, you give yourself a very good chance to get 4 to 8 every year, and maybe then you get a bubble year with Tyler Adams, with Aaron Long, with Tim Parker, where then you do win a trophy. But that's important.
But even
you
that,
aim for 4 to 8, and you hope you hit the bubble to get a shield.
But even with that, you just raise your floor. You just raise your floor. Like, look, RSL missed on their big offseason signing forward this year, Alfredo Artuño. Who remembers him? They spent $1 million on him. He played like 15 minutes and could never get out of Mike Pecky's doghouse. But because RSL have developed players through the academy, they were able to plug Corey Baird into that position. Now, Corey Baird isn't going to be on the best 11, but he was a solid player. He gave them goals when they needed it, and they made the playoffs.
Can I
good
just throw
there.
One
RSL
little
RSL made the playoffs. Yeah.
Can I just throw one
that's
little
a note we should have put there. Columbus Crew SC did in the East, so
can
we'll
I throw one
that
little piece in at the end, though,
sure.
Is it doesn't always have to be from your area. And so I understand what you're saying in terms of, like, you're not going to develop a superstar every time. But, like, Red Bull's replacement for Tyler Adams is Christian Casares, who's from Venezuela. They brought in Michael Murillo and Kamar Lawrence at young ages and helped develop them into the pros they are. So, like, when we talk about development, when you build the system, you can bring other pieces in that can be successful because you have a coherent top-to-bottom system. It doesn't just have to be guys who are from your area and homegrowns. It can be Jefferson Savarino. It can be Kamar Lawrence, where now you have an idea of at least pathway and development and a way to help guys fit in and help guys get better as a player, not just local American or Canadian homegrowns.
I thought it was interesting after this game, the number of times that Chris Armas, whether it was in his speech to the supporters afterwards, and by the way, one of the most fun parts about the celebration was, you know, look, confetti showers are awesome, but it was the, like, Captain America shield that somebody in the crowd produced that the Red Bulls then decided that this was their shield in waiting, and, like, Luis Robles went around the whole stadium parading this
thing.
Yeah,
that was pretty dope.
That was awesome. Yeah. That was really, really cool. But Armas, over and over and over, went back to Jesse Marsh and said, look, I'm here. I'm the head coach at this point. I'm the one who gets to lift this shield because I'm the one that's around. But don't you dare forget Jesse Marsh and what he did to build this and what it is. Don't forget Ollie Curtis, he said even. Don't forget Dennis Hamlett. There are so many different guys that have been a part of this building process, even going back to like a Thierry Henry,
yeah,
and BWP and giving him a little bit of a runway and maybe a little bit of a kick in the behind or whatever you want to call it to become the player that he is. But they all know it's MLS Cup. I mean, they all know.
Yeah.
Like, the supporters didn't stick around the stadium really to party it out. Like, they popped the champagne, but they all know it's MLS Cup. And breaking news here. With the third pick in the draft, Sporting Kansas City select Zlatan Ibrahimovic. We are still starting Kyrie Shelton in Kansas City. Though.
Zlatan is going to be a
Zlatan's coming off the bench in case we can't break down that opposing back line. Kyrie just beats him into a pulp, and Zlatan comes in and scores like 3 goals in the last 15-20 minutes.
I like it. I like that.
Probably that's in game one. After that, Zlatan establishes
so
his
dominance.
So you're
actually counting on Zlatan to show up, unlike on Sunday.
Hey, look. I thought about some other names, but you can't go. I thought Manotas maybe. I thought maybe a little Nemanja Nikolic. Maybe those fit in better in the system.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Zlatan.
It's Zlatan.
It's Zlatan. You take Zlatan. With the
Gas
fourth
man,
pick.
Gasman is up.
Gasman's on the
pick.
Clock. Seattle
just so
Sanders.
Everybody knows, Ben Bear has been added to the draft. Ben Bear has the 5th pick in the draft.
Okay. All right. Red Bulls won the shield. Good for them. you know, by process of elimination, you have now figured out that Atlanta United did not win the Shield. So that brings us to the biggest choke on decision day.
It was a competitive field.
Yeah. Hey, actually, by the way, I haven't even mentioned this. Wednesday and Thursday are playoff games. That's how crazy this is in Pac-10. Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday, Halloween, October 31st, 7 p.m. Eastern, Unimas, FS1 in the U.S., in Canada, TSN, TVA Sports, NYCFC, Philly Union at Yankee Stadium, a rematch of Decision Day, which NYCFC won pretty handily. And then it's Dallas, Timbers, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, Unimas, ESPN+, TSN, TVA Sports, then Thursday of DC United, Columbus Crew SC, and LAFC and RSL, second segment, all the preview stuff. Coming then, that is some important housekeeping that I somehow missed. Back to the choke job by Atlanta United. Was it a choke job? Is it a choke job? You described it on Twitter.
As a collapse.
Doyle, as a collapse.
Yeah, to me, you lose 4-1 in essentially what is a cup final. You know, if they win, they take a cup. If anything else, you don't. And they collapsed. And so Bobby took issue with this, and he's making his stupid little faces and taking issue with it right now as well. And he's going to say it's not a collapse, it's a choke.
It's an important
difference. I chose collapse because I thought it was a gentler way of saying it. But you actually think calling it a choke is more appropriate.
Well, collapse says that it was long term. A collapse doesn't happen at once. It happens over time. And they won 5 of their last 7. They won 9 of their last 13. And the two games they lost in those 7 were at Red Bulls and at Toronto. Those aren't embarrassing. They were still very good over the last 3 months. It just happened that
4-1 with a trophy on the line is embarrassing.
It's a choke. I'm willing to call that a choke.
Okay.
Right? But it's not a collapse.
Okay.
For a man that's as good with words as you are, you choked on this one.
Wow. All right. I mean,
I would argue that it probably is more of a collapse from Doyle on this one, because it's a slow degeneration of his abilities as a wordsmith over time. This wasn't true. Yeah, it was a dulling of the literary senses.
Yeah, I just want to point out that one of the people on this couch has written more than 15 columns this year, and the other has not managed that.
I think we go look back at that. I'm probably in the 17 to 20
range. All right, I'm going to take an awkward pivot into Major League Soccer conversation now. And you guys can continue on. I do have my draft pick.
Do you? Do you want to announce it?
I'm split between two still. Let me think about it for a second.
So he lied.
I'm ready.
Okay.
But you're not ready.
No, stop rushing me. This is an important thing that will follow me for the rest of my life.
Okay. All right.
I was going to say I was at Toronto FC for this game against Atlanta. And I got there, and I haven't been there since CCL. And I got there, and it was like, oh, this feels like when I used to come and Toronto would play playoff games. And it was like, oh, this team's going to win no matter what, and it's really easy, and they're really good. Then they went out on the field, and they played like they were really good, and it was really easy. First 45 minutes, Atlanta was invisible. They didn't bother Toronto FC. Marky Delgado's playing back heels in the middle of the field to guys. Like
nutmegging dudes.
Yeah. Like, it's easy. Yeah. There was space constantly.
What was it? He took Remedy's soul with that nutmeg, wasn't it?
I think so. But he also played a back heel on someone's clearance out the back that went through two players and, like, launched Osorio going the other way. All of that's credit to TFC. I think they played a lot like they used to look like. But Atlanta came out lifeless. And then the second half, they came out with energy. But no one breaks anything down. No one's passing breaks the lines. No one takes anyone one-on-one and is able to get into space. It's, can we suck guys in enough to get a cross in? And then we're going to bring on Romario Williams and have two forwards.
Yeah.
It's not who Atlanta United's been for 2 years. And now in the most important time of the season, that's where they're at. And, like, this was worse than just losing the Shield, I think, because of the way it went down. I think that it was a little bit demoralizing for them. So now you have the question marks going in to next week of, well, it happened against the Crew last year. It happened against TFC in Decision Day last year. Because if they'd won at home last year, they would have gotten a bye, and they wouldn't have had to face the Crew. They lost that game. They lost to the Crew in PKs. And now they come here and do this.
Is their problem their defense? Is their problem their attack? Or is it all of it? And that's one question. And the other question, look, you got to up. This was Ezequiel Barco's chance, and you got a chance to watch him live in a big game. Did he show you? Because I didn't see anything watching on TV.
No.
Did he show you anything in this that makes you believe that he doesn't need to be Miguel Almirón level, but like that he could be a difference maker in this kind of
match? No, he looked like Nagby, higher up the field.
Right.
Everything was connecting a pass, keeping possession. I think Gressel was the only player in this game that looked like he could create something.
And Gressel's not great creating from the wing. He's much better when he starts from deeper as a wing back or even an overlapping.
Well, and at times it's just like overwhelming physicality with Gressel. He's just bigger and faster than a lot of guys. But no, Bronco didn't do that. And I'd say if you're going to ask, like, what's the issue, the team is built offensively. The defense isn't supposed to be a lockdown component of Atlanta United. I think they're good because most of the time they play from a lead. Most of the time it's chaotic and both teams are struggling and they're okay in that setting. So if they're a team that's going to have to like sit behind the ball and only win games by one, because they're going to sit behind the ball and counter, I get that, but only win games by one goal, then the defense isn't good enough. I don't think the individuals are good enough to do that. I don't think they've ever been, but when you have Almirón and Joseph, they didn't have to be. They wouldn't have had to be, and now it's a question mark.
Can I ask you a question to put a little salt on the Atlanta wound?
Oof. Yeah.
Which I don't mean to do, but it's, we need to ask it. If you guys were set for a $30 million transfer and probably a 3X, 4X raise in your wages, would you play in the next game? We know he wants to win for Atlanta. Atlanta has been very good for him. But no trophy in a player's career matters more than the next move. Every single player would sacrifice winning a championship to move up the ladder.
We don't know how hurt he is.
Doesn't matter. You're
well,
right.
We he may know. Be healthy. He may have been healthy this week.
But if muscles never recover. It's like when you sprain an ankle, the ligaments are always damaged. Your muscle is always damaged. It's always a little bit closer to being hurt again. And coming back 1 week earlier puts him at risk. I hope we see Miguel Marón back. I hope to anything that he is in the playoffs, but that would be in the back of my mind if I was set for a potential. All of a sudden, I tear my hamstring. I'm out 12 to 14 weeks. Does West Ham still bid $30 million for me?
Does West Ham have $30 million?
Everyone has $30 million.
Yeah, every Premier League does. Premier League team.
I don't know. What would you, as a player, what would you do?
I'd say.
Because the other thing, I mean, I don't think. Look, it's great for that next team if you're like, we're getting an undamaged product. But you also have to think to yourself, this guy just sat out of his previous team's biggest game of the year.
Well, you wouldn't know.
Lo siente, Tata. Yo puedo jugar. I don't know if I just said that right.
Buen trata. Buen trata.
Yeah.
Yeah, you tried. I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that. But that would be the sort of gut punch that Atlanta United fans, I mean, they're not having good luck like dealing with this one well, it seems. There are some.
I actually thought Atlanta United fans were dealt with it pretty well on Twitter after the loss. But no, they have practice. You know, we saw what happened in Georgia in the college football last year. We know what's happened to the Braves.
This is why someone sends us an email saying in the offseason we should talk about other sports on ETR.
Oh, God.
Like anyone wants to hear Doyle talk about
Derek Alishman asked this, who choked harder, L.A. or Atlanta? We haven't talked about L.A. Somehow we haven't.
L.A. choked harder.
L.A. just had to win.
Oh, being up 2-0 at halftime at home against a team that
against a team that spent the last month in Cancun.
Yeah.
The Dynamo have not showed up for four games, and they come out in the final 45 minutes and destroy L.A. You mentioned a name before when we were talking about the Red Bulls. L.A. needs to call Ali Curtis. L.A. needs to call Ali Curtis. They need a cultural change at that team. There's no way the Los Angeles Galaxy, who've had an academy for 10 years, who had a 12-month jump on everybody else in this league on starting a USL team.
Oh, and by the way, trumpeted it constantly. Did not
let
you escape that.
There's no way this team should be getting nothing from that. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And they deserved it. And I am thrilled to see RSL in the playoffs instead of L.A.
Ali Curtis took 300 pages into his meeting with
the Red
Bulls.
Yeah, right. How many pages?
What's he take? The Galaxy? 900, 1,100.
He brings an Encyclopedia Britannica.
We got the National Archives. You're just going to have to go check out the different editions of my plan.
I'll be there in 3 weeks. We're driving it from New York.
Zlatan didn't show up. Defense let Dynamo run right through it. Mauro Manotas ends the season on 19 goals. Mauro goal. Romo Kyoto screws.
2 years away from
U.S. citizenship,
into the ground. By the way.
Romero
really?
Manotas?
That's what I've heard, from people in Houston. Yeah.
Don't let people feel that hope. There's no way.
So RSL are in. One in a million chance, says Mike Pecky. Yeah. And he just, why isn't he playing Mega Millions is the
Gas
question.
Man, you gotta make your choice, dude. Yeah. You gotta make your choice.
Seattle's on
draft.
The clock.
Oh, my draft pick?
Yeah.
Okay, Seattle Sounders select Roman Alessandrini.
Roman Alessandrini.
Wow.
To play that left. Ooh. Okay, good.
Okay.
All right. Why Alessandrini over an Elise or a Davies?
So Davies was the other one I was deciding between. But I just think Alessandrini.
Make sure you tag Ben Bear.
I am going to.
Okay.
Davies is great everywhere, but I think Alessandrini in a situation where you say, what's Seattle struggle with most if a team sits back and is compact, breaking them down the final third? I think Alessandrini at this stage in his career is more useful in that moment still help out.
This is a really good pick.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really good at this. This is why I normally do fake drafts in my life.
I love fake drafts, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. This is the highlight of the show right now. By the way, we are going to preview the knockout round, and we've got our award picks coming in the mailbag here. So L.A. choked, Atlanta choked. Dallas did what? Going to Colorado with a bye on the line and losing 2-1.
I mean, obviously there is some element of chokery happening with Dallas, but it's also a little bit of a collapse. The scale is is what, nosedive to tailspin to death spiral, and last year was a death spiral for FC Dallas.
Can you repeat those?
Nosedive.
Yep.
Tailspin.
Yeah.
Death spiral.
Do we think a nosedive versus a tail? I would be more terrified of a tailspin personally.
Right. So the tailspin is worse.
But now I'm really scared of the nosedive again. Yeah, I mean, either way, it's all the same.
So this feels like a tailspin. The second half of the year, or maybe it's a collapse. The second half of the year, they're 6-7-4. They have a negative goal differential. They got a goal from run of play yesterday. Granted, it was against Colorado.
And also the fact that we're out here like congratulating them on a goal from the run of play is indicative of all of it.
They haven't looked like a good team for a while. They're still tough to beat because I think that defense is still mostly very good. Look, they were awesome in the first half of the year, and they have not been since mid-July. And I don't think anybody should be all that surprised that they found a way to collapse down the stretch.
Sporting KC didn't.
It's a new year.
First time in 5 years.
And that was Zlatan there going to be.
Did we shout out Cole Bassett there?
Go ahead.
Just Cole Bassett.
Yeah.
And then continue.
Okay. Cole Bassett. Sporting KC winners against LAFC at home. Children's Mercy Park. They will be the number one seed out west. Seattle Sounders are the second seed by virtue of a quiet win against San Jose. LAFC third. They are the top seeded knockout round team. Dallas fourth. Home game. Timbers on the road. RSL on the road. Timbers didn't really play their first team in this game. They saw the writing on the wall, and they saw, you know, with all the injuries we had last year, playing on turf in Vancouver, might as well play it safe.
They thought there was no chance of them moving up the standings because they needed Colorado to lose.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they read the tea leaves, and they were like,
them wrong.
Yeah, they needed Dallas to lose, and it's collapse.
Sporting KC won basically what was a playoff game against LAFC in a lot of ways. Watch it back, when you have the feel of it, it just had that kind of electricity and energy.
Double elimination game.
Yeah, that I hope we see in the playoffs as well, and I expect we will see in the playoffs as well. As you see the way the West shook out, anything surprise you? Anything stand out to you? We'll talk, of course, about the knockout round games in just a bit.
I feel like the West came out in proper order, that SKC is the best team, the Sounders are the second best team, LAFC the third best team, Dallas and Portland are somewhere around fourth and fifth, and RSL sixth. And after that, I mean, Galaxy are probably seventh, and Vancouver, it feels like it came out in the proper order. I'm okay with who made it in, and I'm okay with the seedings that sorted themselves out.
Yeah, I agree with you. The only one I wonder swapping in terms of like quality over the course of the year is Seattle and LAFC, but hopefully we'll see them play each other in the playoffs, and then they can prove it.
Over the course of the year, but right now. I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about over the whole year. I'm talking about right now, who are the two best teams, the third best team, and this feels exactly right.
And I feel great about that. I feel less great about the fact that we did not get a Trafico and we did not get Cascadia in the knockout round.
Close.
There was a moment in time in which we had the ideal knockout round scenario, like tantalizing, fun,
but instead,
rivalries.
Here at the riot, the band.
Why are we whispering it? You have to blast
We're
that thing
here
out.
For RSL.
I don't think they're going to be at the riot.
Yeah, they don't have a home game.
2018, though.
Probably the last time that song was sung. Western Conference knockout rounds. We will get to those in just a second. LAFC, RSL, Dallas, Portland Timbers. The East shakes out as follows. New York Red Bulls, of course, on top. Atlanta United second. They will get byes. New York City FC will get a rematch from Decision Day against the Philadelphia Union in the knockout round. And DC United will host the Columbus Crew in the other knockout round game. DC United from last place, 15 weeks, buried in the bottom. Mm-hmm. They get a bye.
They did not get a good decision day. Well,
the result was fine.
No, they didn't get a bye. They got a home game.
Well, it felt the same.
It's all the same.
That was what I would classify as a choke rather than a collapse on my part.
Yeah, I would agree.
It was a momentary lapse.
Yeah. All right. DC have played great at home, and they did what they needed. Like, they don't have to win a game on the road in these playoffs. They have the home game now against Columbus, who have not been a good road team. And they have, like, what, 11, 12 road goals all year. They then will go on short rest, which they've been doing for the last 3 months, to play another home game if they win that one against the Red Bulls. And, like, granted, the Red Bulls are the Red Bulls. They might be the best team in MLS history given what they did this regular season. But, like, DC gave themselves the best possible opportunity here. And granted, I'm sure they would have liked to have won the game on Sunday, but in the end, it doesn't matter.
That series would be so good.
NYCFC is the other possibility. Maybe later on. Like, so let's say NYCFC win, they would go take on Atlanta, and then they could move through. So you could see an Eastern Conference playoffs where it's DC, New York Red Bulls, and then Red Bulls, NYCFC. You could have their two biggest rivalry matches for the best team points-wise in regular season history back-to-back, the way this is set up.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. I don't have anything, Bobby.
It felt like weird that this conversation was sputtering. I was going to throw something in there.
Oh, am
I allowed
hurts.
To do that?
Well, thanks.
Literally didn't have anything to finish off there.
You could just say something.
Now it's definitely sputtering.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is awkward. I apologize. Okay. Anyway, my point was going to be that, I know this hurts to say, the team that I think is the least likely to win this game is Philadelphia. They did not look like a team that can play at Yankee Stadium. The surface was bad on the field. The sod just maybe was sod. Whatever it was, the sod didn't look like it was right. The dimensions. Philadelphia looked incapable of playing on that grass in that field. I don't see how they figure it out in 3 days. Philadelphia needs to be able to pass the ball. They need to be able to have controlled possession, both for the way they attack and they defend. And if they can't do that, I think that they're dead in the water against NYCFC, who looked good again. Jan Herrera back, Maxi Morales back, Jesus Medina back, Ismael Tejori-Schrade back. This is probably the first time, this is definitely the first time Domi has had really his best 11 players, and they looked pretty good
and
again.
And you heard David Villa after this game talking about Jan Herrera and his level of talent. Now, do not get into this matchup too much because we are going to preview the whole thing.
I would just argue that outside of the LA Galaxy, if you give any MLS team a 2-0 lead in 9 minutes, they're going to look pretty good. Not the Galaxy, though. Not that team.
anybody but the Galaxy. All right. Well, we've got the playoffs set. It's going forward. We got the previews in the knockout round coming up next, as well as the favorite number one contender and dark horse from each conference. Before we go, cue the emotional outro music for Alphonso Davies and Alan Gordon. Gordo. Alphonso Davies gave us a treat on the final day of the regular season, huh?
He did, man.
Kid is so good.
He's awesome, and I was really happy that he ended it that way, which I will consider his first tour through MLS, because hopefully 10 years from now we'll see him back. Maybe 12 years.
Yeah, 12 years. Yeah, get a little prime in there.
He was awesome. I'm never going to be a Bayern Munich fan, but I'm going to watch a lot more Bayern Munich games starting in January. And I just want to give this quote from Niko Kovac, the Bayern Munich manager. He said he will – and this is from Manuel Veth, who's a reporter covering the Caps. Davies will join Bayern after the international break and, quote, train with the first team. One thing is certain. When you spend that much money on a player, then you don't park him at the reserves. Bayern Munich, number 67 jersey.
Let's go. I'm definitely going to be watching all the men's league that Alan Gordon plays in, wherever in Southern California.
With the first pick for the Bowery Premier League.
Yes.
In Lower East Side.
That man has soft feet, and he kills it at the bar after the game.
The Gem Saloon selects.
Alan Gordon has been a joy. It is our new personal, well, my personal mention to get him on MLS Storytime in person. On the phone is one thing. And by the way, we're working on these for the holiday break when we're not going to be here. So if you have suggestions for MLS Storytime, get them to me. But I need Gordo in this green room, telling us all the stories about David Beckham, about putting boots on body parts that shouldn't be put on, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. Shocking development with the fifth pick in the draft. Ben Bear drafting for LAFC.
Trash.
Takes
it's a good one.
Chris Mavinga, center back from Toronto FC.
Is Chris Mavinga the best center back available?
He is. Because
if so, I'm okay with this pick.
He is. I think it's a fantastic selection.
I told you during the games that perhaps the biggest weak link of all these teams might be Danilo Silva.
Yeah.
He can't run fast, but he actually plays slow
at this point.
He passes slow. He tracks slow.
He spent most of his career beating up on on Shakhtar Donetsk. I mean, he was considered one of the best players in that, or one of the best defenders in the Ukrainian league.
Well, there's your Shakhtar reference for today. We're going to break. On the other side, knockout round previews.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime@mlssoccer.com or tweet @extratimeradio with any comments, questions, or reactions.